and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Rope.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
This is another late night recording. Last week we did get off a little earlier, so this is probably more of our mainstay. But, you know, again, we try to bring you the right topic at the right time. And today's top, well, before we jump in, how you doing, Big Group?
Can't complain. Maintain it.
Good, good. Well, yeah, so like I said, new week, new day, new topic. And for our listeners, today's topic is, what is a superstar? And the genesis for this topic was last week. There was a documentary ABC titled Superstar about Kobe Bryant. And I guess it's definitely fitting that, you know, more than a year after his passing and the tragedy that took his life, his daughter's life, and all the other passengers on that ill-fated helicopter, I guess this was a chance to just exemplify Kobe Bryant and the qualities that made him stand out. And obviously, you know, 824 yesterday is Kobe Bryant Day. It's acknowledged his two numbers and the impact he left behind. So today's episode is, what is a superstar?
Yeah, well, I mean, in our generation growing up, we looked at the superstar as someone performing at the highest level, almost mythic-like to be a superstar. Your Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, your Magic Johnsons, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Dr. J, those were your superstars.
Definitely, definitely. And I think you said it right. Mythic, larger than life, super heroic, superstar, right? Not just successful or high achiever, which, you know, you hope that everybody would aim for, but literally, you know, bigger than a sport, bigger than the moment. You said Mr. October had a month named after him. I mean, these unrealistic expectations yet actually fulfilled, you know, on the playing court, on the diamond. Like, actually, we see the myths come to life, right? And for any sports fan over a certain age, that's what sports is. That's, to your point, that's what defines a superstar.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so much, you build them up so much that, like Muhammad Ali, that if he actually was to lose, you really think the world is coming to an end. Oh, my Lord, he lost? He can't lose? He's too good.
Exactly, exactly, and that's true. And I think, you know, some of the past conversations we had, we talked about athletes performing and we talked about some of the other challenges they had, it kind of got a little murky. And not for us, but just, I guess, society, right? Where some people look at athletes today and like, why don't they want to perform a certain way? Or don't they understand how fortunate they are? Don't they know how we see them? And that's probably one of the biggest differences. Do they know how we see them? We see them as superstars. And you just defined what a superstar is, someone mythological, someone larger than life. And if we see them that way, I guess maybe we're surprised they don't see themselves that way.
Yeah, I think that's a surprise to us mere mortals that, you know, we think the ones that perform and at such a high level, you know, would see themselves the way that we see them. And they see themselves as just some of them see themselves just as another athlete performing and not really on that mythical level.
Right. No. Well said. Well said. So I guess, you know, using Kobe as our jumping point for today, what separated Kobe Bryant from all of the great players in the NBA? And almost as we define what a superstar is, how is that lacking from some of the athletes we see today, right? Because like you said, there's some people who may perform at a high level and we may be incredibly impressed with them. And yet they don't seem to have that same spark that Kobe exemplified.
Well, number one, to be a truly great player, a superstar, is the will to win. You want to win more than anything else. Some players right now, it's about the money, it's about the fame. It's not really about the win. you know, if they win, it's good. They're not going to not take the win. But that's not the only thing that they're worried about. Whereas Kobe, it's a throwback to the guys that I got to win at all costs. Michael Jordan, his idol, the one he looked up to. I want to win rings. You know, I'm trying to win the championship. It's not just about being the highest scoring player in the league. I want to win the whole championship at the end of the season.
Right, right, right. So why don't you just go through a little bit of a timeline for our listeners as far as some of the superstars in the NBA. We'll just kind of focus on basketball right now. That led up to Kobe, right? Some of the mythological people that, even if we never saw them play, just the stories you hear about them and the legends that follow them that have made such an impact.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go back. I mean, you have someone called the GOAT, which is Earl Manigault. Now, this is way back because he didn't even play in the NBA. So that tells you how good he was. NBA players talk about him as he could jump to the top of the backboard, take a quarter off the top of it, you know, which is that's crazy vertical height. And he wasn't even that tall. He was like maybe 6'2 or 3. You had him. You had obviously Oscar Robinson and Dr. J and Bill Russell, who won 11 championships out of 13 seasons, which is ridiculous, and still the most championships of any NBA player. So, I mean, you had people like that. Obviously, moving down chronologically, like I said, Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. You had the Iceman, George Gervin. You had Michael Jordan, of course, Patrick Ewing, all the people on the original Dream Team, because obviously the whole team was super talented. I know I skipped over some of the Knicks like Clyde Frazier and Willis Reed and those guys that won a couple of championships, and Bill Walton, who won with both of, you know, the Portland Trailblazers and the Celtics, but he was really dominant when he played with the Blazers before he broke his foot up. But there's so many superstars.
Well, that's the thing. Now, that's interesting you said it, because I didn't know you were going to name that many people as far as superstar. Because, again, I think for me, superstar, like we start out talking about, was the mythological level. And I don't know if everybody mentioned is on that level there. I think, like you said, we mentioned the GOAT, right? Someone who no one's ever seen as far as NBA fans and the larger world, yet his legend just remains. And obviously, you know, you mentioned a few others who stood out. Obviously, the great Michael Jordan. So I think for me personally, there's good players, there's great players, there's your stars. And I guess when we say superstar, which the word is very open-ended, can mean whatever. But I'm talking about like in the case of a Kobe Bryant, someone who stood out over his entire generation. And we talk about Michael Jordan, you talk about someone who just looms over the entire sport.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
All right, so narrowing it down to that, I would have it with Magic and Bird, because they actually put the NBA on primetime into regular TV. Without them, the NBA was on tape delay and coming on at 11 o'clock at night on some local channel. It wasn't on NBA and NBC. Obviously, Michael Jordan totally transformed the game and made it where he's making movies and everybody wants to be like Mike. And then from him, you really get to Kobe, because Kobe, that was Michael Jordan was his idol. He wanted to be like Mike in every way, walk like him, talk like him, had the same work ethic like him, if not greater, because Kobe was the kind of person that, like Mike, someone coming to the arena might only see me once in their life. I have to put a show on for them. I have to make sure that, you know, I leave a great impression with them. I'm not going to not play, even if I'm hurt. And that's hard to do with these, say, more current players. They always want to take time off. They want to load manage, you know, things like that.
Gotcha. True. I think going back to our definition and again episode, what is a superstar? I think when you said the will to win, I think that probably is the single greatest element, because clearly when we're talking about the NBA players and we're talking about the 50 best players of all time, when we're talking about the first dream team, clearly we're talking about the best of the best, right? We're talking about elite athletes who perform at the highest level. But I think what you said when you nailed the Michael Jordans and you know the Kobe Bryants, right? I think you nailed it. The will to win, the will to win, the will to be better than the best, right? So we have the best of the best, and then we have the superstars who are better than the best.
No, it's true. You know, basically, you know, like a win at all costs. I have to win. I want to make sure that I get that championship. It's different than someone who's just playing for the money and things like that.
Exactly. No, you're right. You're right. So, I mean, I think the will to win is a driving force. And so sadly, I didn't get to watch the documentary. I didn't get to see it in its entirety. And, I would have liked to have seen it, Superstar by Kobe Bryant. But I think that, thinking back on his career, obviously the tragic way that he passed, you do remember just the highlights. You do remember that, you know, whether he won more than he lost, you remember all of the last minute shots, all the game-winning shots, just the larger-life moments that he left behind. And I wonder what athlete today in the NBA, or I guess we can go through other sports now, meets that bill. Like, what is a superstar today? Or has it changed, right? Because that's the point we were talking about in some of the other episodes. Do superstars today have the same value system as a Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go across different sports to see. I think that Tom Brady might be on that level right now. I mean, obviously, he's won 7 rings as an NFL quarterback, playing at a high level at an advanced age, and shows no signs of slowing down. So, I mean, you know, he's taking care of his body. He's on a great nutritional program, and whatever it takes to win, he wants to be in that, you know, in that space.
Exactly. Well said. Again, the will to win. The will to win. What is a superstar? Someone who's physically gifted. I think that's a starting point, because we were talking off air and you mentioned about a video you saw. You want to go over our listeners the video you saw of this average NBA player?
I'm just trying to remember back which video are you talking about.
Oh, no, it's okay. I can go through it. Basically, you were just telling me how there was this average NBA player who went to regular playgrounds and people thought that he was a scrub or somebody could be beaten. He basically was dominating, right? And the point was, he wasn't a superstar in the NBA, but he was a superstar everywhere else, which just is kind of a measuring stick of the greatness of players in the NBA, right? I could be at the end of a bench in the NBA, and I'll still dominate almost every court I'm on. And then you transpose that to the great ones in the NBA who just are at such a level that, again, they're mythological now.
Yeah, I remember the video now. Yeah, basically, a lot of people who play ball, who go to the court all the time and think they have game, they're like, oh, I could beat so-and-so on the 12th man on the bench. And he proved that I might be the last man on the bench. And in fact, if I remember right, this video, this guy wasn't even in the NBA. He was a college player and he wasn't a starter in college, but he still was better than most people that play on a regular pickup game.
Right. No, exactly. I remember you told me that. So I guess what I'm saying is, when you take that, right, that's just a measure stick, because so many of us like to think that we're superstars of our own blocks and neighborhoods and parks we play in. And the truth of the matter is, there's so many different levels up that some people go. And then you get to the highest level. And then you get to the superstars. Then you get to the Michael Jordans, right? The I will just win. I will be better than better, right? Whatever the best is, I will be better than that. And Kobe Bryant, like you said, exemplified that as well, right? The will to win, the determination to drive forward. So, again, like I said, Tom Brady is basically, again, a relic of an older generation. So I guess my thing now is what might be translatable from Kobe Bryant to the newer generation? And again, I want to go through other sports because we've done episodes where we mentioned Naomi Osaka in tennis, who chose not to perform under certain circumstances, which we've previously mentioned, and Simone Biles in a similar situation. And I guess the point being was they're considered superstars. And how does that relate or compare to Kobe Bryant?
Well, first of all, sometimes we're premature in labeling people superstars. You need to earn that right and have a certain number of level of success for an extended period of time before you really earn that title. You know, someone like a Kobe Bryant, someone like Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter, Tom Brady. You know, we have extended, you know, excellence over a long period of time, in my opinion, not just a couple of years or a journey come lately.
Okay, fair enough. I feel that might be somewhat directed towards Naomi Osaka, which is fair enough because the truth of the matter is she is an up-and-comer. Whether or not she's the best or among the best of the sport is debatable. What I believe is not debatable was Simone Biles, who was on track to be the greatest gymnast of all time. So I think it's fair to say that she's a superstar, and therefore her decision to not perform or inability to perform, that's what I would now call into question. Again, we're not going to address the mental health aspects, which we have in previous episodes, but if we're saying that Kobe Bryant and other superstars present mythological performances and determination, we have to acknowledge other athletes who do not.
No, exactly. It's kind of like going to the Super Bowl and I have a migraine, I can't play, or it's the NBA Finals, and, you know, I just don't feel like playing today. That's, you know, we look at the athlete as they got four heads if they did something like that.
Exactly. And the thing is, we have to, because if we didn't, we'd be hypocrites now, right? If we're going to commend the ones who rise to the occasion and ascend to levels we can't even imagine, how can we overlook the ones who don't? Right? We can't just say, oh, well. And again, we're not talking about the mental health aspect of it. We're not talking about the humane aspect of it, right? Yes, we want everyone to be okay, well, and healthy. That's a given. So anyone who attacks anybody who's not in their best state of mind, that's another conversation. But if we're talking about superstars or mythological performers, we then have to look at people who don't perform that way, even though, like you said, they were given a mantle. And we have to put a big asterisk, which you and I like to use, when calling them superstar, right? Can we really call you superstar if, like you said, you're not rising to the occasion? You're not living up to the moment.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
No, I agree. I mean, if you're a star, you can be a star in the league and not be a superstar. So if you have people like, say, I'm not going to really call a lot of modern names out, but say like a Jimmy Butler or a Dame Damian Lillard, they're stars, but are they superstars? Have they transcended the sport? Are they considered to be the top of their profession? You know, one would argue they're good, but not quite on the top echelon.
Well, that's a good point. But that also can open up some other areas of conversation. For example, if we're going to use winning as a criteria of superstardom, would Kobe Bryant be a superstar if he went to the Clippers instead of the Lakers? If we're going to use will to win, are we also going to factor in skill set? Because maybe somebody has a will to win, but not as great a skill set as someone else. So, I mean, that's an interesting conversation because, I mean, you're right. I don't think Dame Lillard or Jimmy Butler has transcended the sport yet. And I guess based on that definition, you're right. They're not superstars in that genuine sense.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to say because of winning or not. I just didn't think they were on the highest level. LeBron or KD or somebody on like a little type of Steph Curry's on a little bit higher level. And it's the same thing when you talk about, say, a Charles Barkley. Now, he's a superstar. He didn't win, but he was a superstar. Everyone who followed sports in some fashion would know who Charles Barkley was. He did carry his teams all the way to the, you know, through the playoffs. He just didn't win the biggest title, but he was the superstar, you know. So I'm not saying you have to win at all. You can be a superstar without winning at all, but you have to transcend the sport.
Okay, but you also have to have the ability to transcend the sport. So now are we saying that some of these players don't have the will to be the best or they're not talented enough to be the best? Because, again, I think part of what, part of what made Kobe Bryant was his talent, added with his will, added with him being blessed to be drafted by arguably the best NBA franchise. Well, I mean, Boston probably wouldn't agree with that, but you get my point. So he had all of those things going for him, which helped him to transcend.
No, I agree with that. I mean, if you end up on a very poor team that makes very poor decisions, you can end up like Allen Iverson, where you're a great player, but you don't have the hardware to show for it. Everybody who played the game against you recognizes how good you are and, you know, respects your game, but you don't have the hardware because the management, you know, didn't put other things in place to help you to get the team success that you, you know, wanted.
That's funny because I would use Allen Iverson. I was going to mention him in a different way. I would say Allen Iverson proves that he's a superstar because he's transcended the sport despite not having the team structure around to win at the highest level. And also, you could argue not necessarily having the – well, okay, I'll stop myself. I was going to say he didn't necessarily have the will to win. He did have the will to win. He just didn't have the discipline to win. So I'll stop myself from saying that. The reason I say that because there is a story that came out after Kobe passed that when him and Allen first played out in L.A. for the first time, they went out to dinner after the game. Apparently, they were very close, which is funny because I just never do that. Why would I? But not just close in the sense they knew each other, but they were very close. And whenever they played or many times when they played, they would have dinner together. And so I guess it was the first time out there. And according to Allen Iverson, they recognized each other. Like, they saw the greatness in each other, to your point. And after the game, they had dinner. And then I guess Allen asked Kobe what he was going to do or vice versa. And no, yeah, Kobe asked Allen. And Allen's like, I'm going to the club. First time out in L.A., I'm going to go have me some fun. And Kobe's like, oh, I'm going to the gym. And Allen's, gym? You just played. Right. I got to go back to the gym. So that showed you, I think, the difference in them, in their personalities and their goals, right? Allen made the most of his talent and enjoyed life. Kobe was driven.
No, I agree with that. Though, you know, you could argue if Kobe had got drafted in Philly, he might not have five rings. So, you know, it all depends on what is put around you. You know, I understand that Kobe did have a superior work ethic. But that being said, also, a lot of people in the league say if, you know, Allen was 6'5 and not 6 feet, it'd be a big difference too.
Well, I mean, but now we're getting away from will. Now we're saying physical attributes, right? If I was this and if I had that, which I think guts away from the point of what a superstar as far as intangibles, right? Derek Jeter, if he was bigger and had more power, we could argue how much home was he'd have. The point is Derek Jeter took what he had and he transcended the sport with it in his own way. So I think it's not necessarily fair to, you know, mix and measure athletes and say if they had different attributes, they could have performed better.
Okay, no, I agree with that as well. But it's also still hard to measure someone's will to win, you know, given their circumstances, because you might have a great will to win, have, you know, maximize your physical ability, but you don't have the other pieces around you to enable you to get the team success. It is a team game. I guess it's different when we talk about tennis or gymnastics or golf, where it's individual, so you have sole control over your destiny.
Okay, so based on where we started the episode, because it seems like the topic or the tone has changed a little bit, so what really makes Kobe Bryant, what made him a superstar then? Because again, like I said, I mentioned Avli's talent, I mentioned him, the will to win, and I mentioned him being on the Lakers. So if we're saying he gets drafted someplace else and things are different, and then what makes him a superstar? Is the will not there? Was he not going to do what was needed to be more successful? I guess that's what I'm saying. So what made Kobe Bryant stand out from his peers? Was it that he was fortunate to be a Laker and take his talents and desires there, and that was enough for him to be better than everybody else? Or was there some other mythological element that other players didn't have? Because maybe you're right. Maybe he just said he was lucky than other people. He wound up with the right team.
No, he had what we call a killer instinct. He was able to channel all his energy into winning, and he would play through injuries and do things that other athletes wouldn't do. But all I was saying is that, and I think you saw it in some of the seasons when he, you know, didn't have the best talent with him, that you can play all, you can be an all-world player, but you maybe not win on your own. You can take your team to the playoffs, but not the championships.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Okay, but would he have been transcended, though, right? Because the point being, you mentioned Charles Barkley being transcended, although he, you know, didn't win the big one. So I guess what I'm saying is, if we're saying superstar equals transcending your sport, what is the key element in you transcending your sport? Because like I said, Kobe Bryant was drafted by the Sixers. Does he still not have the same drive, the same killer focus?
I think being transcendent means when you can get a person that's not really a basketball fan, or people who don't really watch basketball, to watch you and pay money to go to games because you're going to be there. That's being transcendent. You're not talking about a person that, you know, buys the sneakers and buys the jersey and goes to the games, but they hear, oh, Kobe Bryant's playing, I got to go. And that's when you're transcendent. When it's non-fans, people don't really follow basketball. Same thing with Michael Jordan. A lot of people didn't really follow basketball, but watching when he was on, you know, I got to see if Michael Jordan's on, I got to watch it. You know, Magic Johnson is on, I got to watch it. Larry Bird's playing, I got to watch it. So those type of players to me are what I mean as transcendent. Some players can be good, but they don't have that pull. People who watch the game or are into the sport will appreciate them, but people who are not fans won't want to watch them.
Okay. I'll take that. I think for me, it's similar. It's a similar understanding. I think it's players that perform at a high level that makes an impact beyond what the sport would normally do. So in a way, I guess, yeah, it is about reaching out fans beyond the sport, but I think it's due to their performance, right? Because what happens is we do live in a world and a system where media and marketing can make people famous, can get people out there. But then you have people, you have Derek Jeter running across the field and flipping the ball to home plate. You have him diving into the stands. And I think it's his performance that led to him being big in the sport. It's not just he was a great player. You could argue some were more talented. It's him living up to those key moments. It's him actually taking little kids' imaginations and making those plays real, making us really see those things.
Yeah, I think what you call that, a signature moment. And he had a lot of signature moments. Where some players are good and never have signature moments. So I know what you're saying. To be transcendent, right. You have signature moments.
Right. But, and I think, because I think that's what makes that mark, right? Even if you're not a fan, you're just somebody who sees something, like, what just happened? Like, what did I just see? Right? I mean, Allen Iverson has a couple of those. Obviously, he has that move and I'm not going to call out who fell down. He stepped over him as he hit the three, because nobody wants to be known for that. But what I'm saying is, yeah, to your point of, you know, reaching a larger audience, I think there's plays, performance, moments, highlights that even if you don't understand the sport, you just look at it and you're just like, wow.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And not all good players, you know, do have those moments. Okay. Again, you have Reggie Jackson, three pitches, three home runs in the game, you know, clinching game of the World Series.
Exactly.
Who does that?
Exactly. That's wild. That's a wow. That's a wow. You don't have to be a fan of baseball. Like, wow. That's so I think for our listeners, they get where we're going with this. So I guess we can, I don't know if you have any other points to make, we can wrap up, go to our call to action. This is meant to be a nice, light conversation for our listeners. We've had a lot of heavy conversations, and there are a lot more to come, I'm sure. But like I said, there was a Kobe Bryant documentary last week, Superstar, and it just, you know, just wanted to take a moment to reflect on some of the lighter side of things and to, you know, like I said, appreciate a great athlete who did make his impact. He then went on to win an Oscar really quick after his playing days were over. So clearly there was a lot more signature moments that he probably would have had, but his time came to an end.
Yeah, well, that's when I go to call to action. My call to action is we need to cherish the opportunity to see these great athletes while we have it. You never know when it's going to be gone. The moments are fleeting. So you want to make sure you appreciate it and take advantage of it. You know, if you have a chance to get to a game to see one of these superstars while they're still performing at their high level, take advantage of it if you can. I mean, I got to see Derek Jeter. I'm glad I got to see him. You know, obviously I'm older than some people, so I saw Reggie Jackson and Ryan Giggs, you know, the old guys. But, you know, I got to see Ali fight on TV. But, you know, imagine going to a stadium and seeing Ali fighting, you know, in a stadium. What kind of, you know, impact that would have on you?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I think jumping into call to action, mine would be for our listeners. I would think to see what in your own life you can do to emulate what superstars do. And by that, I mean the will to win, you know, being determined. I think sometimes we don't push ourselves hard enough. Finding what we're good at. I think one thing we struggle in life is that we always want to be good at something that we're not necessarily good at. So maybe let's aim for things that we are good at and just keep working on those things. And try to have some signature moments. I think that's something everybody should hopefully aim for in life. Because you know what? Those moments, the same way they lift up those athletes and us as fans, they have ways of lifting us up too. I'm sure you've had some signature moments in your life. And I'm not just talking about having kids and getting married. Of course, those are signature moments. And that's the point I'm getting to. In all our lives, we have the opportunity to have signature moments. But I mean, even performance-wise, there's things I've done where I know that at least for a moment in time, people were impressed. You know, I've given debates where professors were like, wow, I've never heard that before. And, you know, I've done things like that. So I think we all have that potential in us to find what we're good at and have some signature moments.
Oh, I agree.
So that's what it is to be a superstar. I think Big Rube broke it down well. It's the will to win, and it's basically becoming mythological. So for our listeners, today's episode is What is a Superstar? Now we all know, and now we all know what to aim for within ourselves. And I will leave it at that. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.